Welcome to the Hidden Healing Podcast, The Heroine's Journey. This podcast is just for you. Yes, you, you beautiful soul and kindred spirit, with a gentle heart who, because of life's circumstances, have been hurt, neglected, and left in so many ways to fend for yourself because the adults who raised you weren't able to be what you needed or provide you what you needed in the early years of life. I have a hunch that you, my friend, have worked really hard to have a good life and to provide one for your family, and you've succeeded, but you still aren't feeling connected to the people in your life or fulfilled, and you're always meeting other people's needs, which never allows time for your own needs. You've likely already done work on yourself, so this journey isn't new to you, but you know that there is more to be done. In this podcast, we'll talk about how complex trauma robs you of joy and connection, even into adulthood, until you do the inner work. You may be wondering, what more is there to be done? Well, let me tell you. Helping others on the journey of healing from the impact of complex trauma is my passion. I have spent the last 5 years really digging into what specific aspects of healing will bring the biggest impact in life, and how to open the doors to more healing and connection so that you never feel lonely or disconnected again. So listen in as we discuss complex trauma and how you have the power to change how you feel and, yes, change your life now. This episode is brought to you by Clear Concepts, Courses, and Coaching. Do you ever wonder if you've experienced complex trauma? Find clarity with my free mini workbook. It's designed to help you identify complex trauma and figure out if you could have it so that you can break lifelong patterns that may be keeping you feeling stuck and alone. This resource is your first step towards healing and recovery. So get the mini workbook to start uncovering answers today. It's straightforward, it's supportive, and it's yours for free. Begin your journey to understand and to healing now. The link is in the show notes. Have you ever found yourself harboring negative feelings towards another woman without any clear reason? Maybe a mom at pickup or a friend of a friend? Perhaps just seeing her annoys you, or maybe you feel a surge of anger or resentment towards her. Despite not being able to pinpoint exactly why you feel this way, those emotions come up and linger. So what if I told you there's a simple yet effective way to release yourself from those feelings towards her? Just imagine being able to package up your stress or negative feelings towards her into a bubble and just flick it off, sending it off into the horizon, leaving you feeling calm and content. Doesn't it sound too good to be true? Well, stick around to the end to hear how it's possible. In my journey through healing complex trauma, I found one thing that is true. The human experience is universal. We can look at women everywhere and see universal truths. Mothers love their children and want the best for them. Loss is a universal pain. Pain and sadness are also universal. But then again, so are joy and happiness. But because of complex trauma, I thought that I was different than others, and different in a bad way. And I know that in part it's because I thought there was something inherently wrong with me, and that's what shame is, of course. But then also because so many bad things happened and I didn't have someone helping me process those things. I didn't have anyone to help me gain understanding of what was happening, so I didn't really understand that this was part of the human experience. I only knew that we had problems and that it was embarrassing to talk about them. I also knew that if we did talk about them, we could be rejected by our friends and family. But then as I grew up, I became a truth seeker and I wanted to know everything about other people. I loved to hear people's stories and how they got where they are, what their parents were like, and nothing pleases me more than knowing friends, one of my friends' family or their other friends. I have learned so much about people from hearing people's stories. So then when I had kids, I knew that I had to teach them how alike we are as humans so they didn't suffer the same way as I did, thinking that there was something inherently wrong with me and that I was different than other people. So I taught my kids how even cool kids are insecure and how people, they may look like they have it all or they may look like they have it all together, but they're still afraid for people to know things about them. There's still things that they hide. I wanted my kids to know that if they feel something, then other people feel that way too. But it's just that no one talks about it. So I wanted to be the person to talk about it. It taught them empathy and understanding so that when other kids did things, mean things, or possibly even were nice, they could imagine what would cause it. And it taught them to see themselves in other people. And it's true. It's true for kids and it's true for women. Here's the issue, though. Especially when we have complex trauma, we didn't get our needs met and probably were so used to it that we married someone and created the family where we're still not getting our needs met. So we're coming from a place of lack or not enoughness, and we're taking care of our family and all of their needs and even people in our community or extended family. So coming from that place of not having our needs met or having enough to take care of ourselves, like energy-wise or time-wise, when other women come around us and don't act their best, we have a hard time acting our best. But as we heal from trauma, drama is one of the things that goes by the wayside. We no longer have time for it. And to be honest, a byproduct of learning to be present in all that we do is that we don't have our eye on other people. We're literally focusing on our now, on being with the person in front of us. And when we're healing, we're also working on developing our identity, which further keeps us occupied in the present. So when you learn to develop a healthy identity, it's not based on what you do for other people or what role you play in someone else's life. And then you begin to focus on what makes you happy, what lights you up. And there's no time for drama or for the negative. There's something else, though. It's great that healing brings on the natural resolution of the need for drama and for comparison to others, but sometimes we still have to stop and take a look at something before it's completely cleaned up. And so that's why today I want to take a deeper look at our sister wound. So a sister wound refers to emotional pain or conflict between two women who share a close bond. And the closer you are, the more that it causes pain. It arises from like one of the people having hurtful actions or words or a situation that caused someone to feel betrayed by the other person. But it's not just your sister wound that's the issue. It's a cultural sister wound. In our time, many women have been taught to see each other as competition. What exactly are you competing for? Well, maybe for a guy, for a job, for friends, for the role of being the coolest girl around. For those who are seeing other women as competition, that's basically what they're saying. When I see it in girls my daughter's age, I can see how petty it is. They're so young and they don't see the big picture. But we're women, and we have experienced enough life to know that if a guy likes you or is your soulmate, he's not going to go and choose another woman. Or if you hit it off with someone and you both just feel like you're twins separated at birth, nothing will keep you apart. The world is so small when you're 16, but when you hit your middle age, you know just how big life is. For women healing from complex trauma, seeing other women as a competition is to make a choice to hold on to past trauma. And so many of us have wounds from other girls or other women and those scars, they make it so easy to feel unsafe around other women. But we get to choose to work on that. I recently took a class based on using art to heal my sister wound. It was very cathartic. I got to look at how I got the negative feelings towards other women and process those situations through art. I definitely would recommend a class like that. But for me, I had a lot of sister wounds. I've spoken about it before. My first sexual abusers were teenage girls, and then just growing up around a lot of families with a lot of adverse childhood experiences meant that I witnessed a lot of girls who also had trauma and didn't get their needs met in life. But it is up to me to take the steps to process all of that, and I have. I've taken so many steps to process now and over the years. It isn't a one and done. But healing that sister wound is a gift to me, to myself. As I think back in reflection, one situation that comes up with me was this girl that was the same age as I was, and our moms were friends. And so it was kind of assumed that we would be friends, but we were very, very different. There is nothing, you know, wrong with being different and being friends, but there's just a big gap between us. And so, like, for instance, even though we were the same age, I was on the verge of letting go of playing with my dolls and imaginary, but I hadn't let go of that, where she was already into high heels, lipstick, and boys. So it's not that one of our ways was better than the other, but we were very different. I knew that we were not friends, but we also knew that our moms were friends, so we spent time together. But this particular time, she decided that she was going to turn her attention towards being my friend. And, you know, I was open for it and I tried it, but it was basically a year from hell. And I have a lot of pain thinking back to that. And she put me through the ringer, seriously. I thought that she had a good life. And that was being defined by a child who had so much adversity, so much trauma, and a single parent, teenage mom. And so through my eyes, she had it all. She had a mother, a father. They lived in a house, not an apartment, not on welfare. The parents each had a car, not just like one car for the family. And they took vacations other places besides my grandpa's house. But the truth was that her mom was in a lot of pain. The truth was that her mom had broken up her sister's marriage and married her husband. And so they were a broken family being put together with a lot of pain. And the stepdad, he was stern. He wasn't a soft place kind of person, stepdad. So her life was a mess, and her dad left her, and she didn't have much safety, let alone love and belonging that she needed. I can see, looking back on her, because I still know her, that her life ended up a mess in her young adulthood. And I was able to see that she was really just a kid fighting to be important, to feel seen, to get her needs met. And she compared herself with every other girl around and always had the need to be the best, no matter what the cost. So it's things like that experience that I have to go back and work on and rewrite the meaning and rewrite the understanding. As you can see in the reflection, I've been able to see why I didn't trust other women. And even though I desperately wanted community, I kept other women at bay. And that's why healing is a gift to myself. Because by learning to understand that we're all the same, I've been able to build a community of women around me. I mean, think about it. We're all trying to get our needs met, including the need for love, significance, to feel the sameness in a group that we belong in. And all of those needs, we're all at different levels of learning and understanding of this, though. Once we heal our sister wound, or at least start on the healing, we can see other women as a safe place to find community and have other women witness our lives and share our joys and sorrows. But what's the key to finding safe people once we begin to heal? So one of the biggest keys is that in finding our identity, we learn to trust ourselves. For so many years, we've defaulted to other people's judgments instead of our own, like our husband's or our mother's judgment to tell us who's safe or who's good or who's bad. But the key to finding community is learning to trust yourself. It takes practice, but it is really worth it. Another key is remembering that in friendship, start by dipping your toes. So many people who've experienced adverse childhood experiences jump in feet first. And that's kind of the way they go into relationships. But that isn't always wise. It's okay to dip your toes, so to speak. Take your time in getting to know people. Even when it feels like that person is your person, take your time. It takes time to see all the parts of a person. And even the people we love can have faults. Sometimes the people that we love can't be trusted with all of the information. But if a friendship is going to be great, it can afford to take its time to build a friendship the slow way. Also, there are times when it's hard to see a woman as a sister rather than competition. We're all works in progress, right? So sometimes there are people who we just can't be positive about. Sometimes it's because they hold up a mirror and we see ourselves in her. Sometimes it's because she breaks some of our foundational life rules. It's time like that, that it's best to give yourself some grace. Don't put yourself in a position where you have to be around that person for long periods of time. And when you do have to be around them, keep your mouth closed. Just remember, you're not alone if you feel this way towards someone. It's a universal feeling. But what does supporting other women mean? Well, when a woman walks in and she looks better than you, does that cause a series of negative thoughts? When another woman is in the spotlight, does your mind go negative? When you read about supporting other women, or when you hear people talk about it, you think about, like, maybe someone walks in an elevator looking really good, and instead of, like, oh, she must be a hoe or something like that, you have the moment where you're like, okay, she looks pretty. Hey, you look nice. But let's go deeper than that. If we shift our mindsets to always looking for the best in people, then we'll always be proactive in supporting other women in whatever way we can. So there are things that we can do, like compliment another woman, or get excited about something she's excited about in her life, or be a listening ear for someone. But there's also things that we can avoid that are even more impactful. So when someone talks bad about another woman, don't feed into that conversation. Or if you have a negative thought or feeling about someone, don't share it with other people. Well, are you ready to learn how to harness the power of the bubble and how it can lead to emotional freedom? Next time you feel something negative come up about another woman, let's leave our moms out of this, because it can be really complicated there. But think about what feelings pop up. Do you remember a time that something happened with a girl or a woman that caused you to feel that same way that you're feeling now? Try to dig deeper. What could have been the first event that caused you to feel this way towards another person? Like, what was the root event? It is a good idea to stop and journal a little bit about that, because bringing it to the surface, to the forward, can really be helpful. But now, as you think about that, whichever event came up, even if it isn't a root event, but just like a level deep, one level deep, two level deeps, how did that make you feel? And now, what's the truth about that person? The truth could be just that she was not taught how to get her needs met in a healthy way, or that you held a mirror up to her and caused her to see herself in a way she didn't like. Or the truth could be that she was struggling, or that she just wasn't raised to think of others. Now, take that situation and that person in your mind's eye and say the words, "I forgive you. I forgive you for me, and I forgive myself." And wrap that thought up and that event up in a big bubble. Place it in this big bubble, almost like the kind you blew with the bubble wand when you were a kid. And then just send that image of the bubble and this person inside the bubble and these emotions and the situation, and send it away wrapped up in love, and watch as the bubble goes far, far away. And then imagine it up in the atmosphere. Imagine it so far away that it's little now. And then it bursts, and all the little sparkles turn to love. It's kind of a cathartic exercise, and you can use it for anything in life that you don't want to carry with you any longer. It's important to first look at it, though. You'll not get the same relief if you just wrap it in a bubble and send it away. Well, I hope this exercise helps. I hope you feel lighter, and now you have a method for releasing negative emotions towards somebody or negative situation. But you can also use this anytime you have feelings or a situation that you want to dissipate the emotional intensity. So you can use this tool anytime. Just practice it when you're sitting out in the sun, outside, or by the lake, or anytime an emotion comes up that you're done with. I hope that you guys all have a good week, and I hope the sunshine is coming your way. Thank you for joining me today. I know your time is valuable, and I appreciate that you chose to come here. Remember to go to the show notes and grab your free mini workbook. It's designed to help you identify complex trauma and figure out if you could have it so that you can break lifelong patterns that may be keeping you feeling stuck and alone. This resource is your first step towards healing and recovery, so go get the mini workbook to start uncovering answers today. It's straightforward, it's supportive, and it's yours for free. Begin your journey to understanding and healing now. The link is in the show notes, and I'll see you next week.